endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the message this morning. Kingdom Conference 2021 Fall Edition is at the end of this month. And there's a link on the website now at the top of the pages for more information. And for those of you who are wanting some type of more formal sign-up page, and this is going to be a great time of fellowship and a way to get away from the world for several days and to explore the possibilities of Ecclesia. And we certainly hope that you're planning to attend. As you know by now, Missouri Liberty Radio is, and hopefully, just temporarily off the air. Sam had a rather expensive piece of equipment breakdown, and it's going to take about $2,800 to replace it. And I'm not in the business of asking for donations, you know that. And neither is Sam. Sam runs his unlicensed, commercial-free radio station out of his own pocket, and he doesn't ask for financial support, but this time he needs our help. And if you can help Sam, I mean, no matter how small or large, doesn't matter. If all of us just did a little bit, I mean, we could help him get the replacement parts that he needs and get him back on the air. His FM station covers the main area and the outlying areas of Owensville, Missouri, which is southeast of St. Louis. But there are others that rebroadcast his signal. And those stations are down as well because Sam is down. And I don't know exactly right now how we can get these funds to Sam, but I will have the information on the website as soon as I get a few more details from Sam as to how we can get those funds to him. I want you to know something else. David and Lorna Switzer were very faithful listeners of ours. And David had been in touch with me, telling me that it was his intention to move close to us for the purpose of Ecclesia, and even thought that it would happen this year, 2021. However, David went home to be with the Lord shortly before our conference in the spring. And his wife, Lorna, is still a faithful listener. She's embraced fulfilled Bible prophecy in spite of quite a bit of opposition. And she's now going through the it's a cult baloney. But she's remained faithful. And she's also planning on coming to the conference at the end of this month. Well, David was, and Lorna still is, in the custom leather business. And this is the finest handcrafted leather I've ever seen. And if you have any needs for leather products, contact Lorna. She sent me a couple of belts this past weekend, and I'm just amazed at how much better these belts are than any belt I've ever had. She sent Teresa a leather case for an iPad, and the quality is unmatched. So on the links page of the website, I put a link to Lorna's website where you can contact her. So please go there and support Lorna. I've received some outstanding emails regarding Michael's last minute last week. And if you've not read that document, go to the website and click on Michael's Minutes. You'll be glad you did. It is really, really great. Over the last week, I've received a little bit of pushback, okay? Not from a single one of our regular listeners, not one. I'm not talking about any of our regular listeners, but from Well, I don't even think I would call them a casual listener. It's more from people who listen and listen just maybe enough to try to get some ammunition to use to persuade others not to listen to these messages. Now, it's a little strange to me, but that happens. But, you know, you might say, well, Charlie, you do the same thing. But I'd have to disagree. The things that I say about, quote, church are from my own experiences. They're from being raised in, quote, church by having a dad who was deeply entrenched in it. In the 1970s, when I was barely a teenager, I mean, there's something that goes on in Springfield, Missouri. At least it did. I don't even know what's happening today. It probably still is. But in the 70s and 80s, it was a roaring, well-attended, understatement, hugely attended event every May during college graduation time. They called it, quote, Fellowship Week. And it was sort of a pilgrimage time for all the past graduates of Baptist Bible College to return to the college campus for graduation week. I mean, you name them. They were all there, the big-time, big-name, quote, Baptist preachers in the U.S. and around the world with what they called their missionaries. The biggest names in the independent, quote, Baptist movement in America around the world, they were there. And since we lived in Springfield, and my dad was a bigwig in that movement, many times, I mean, the largest names in the movement would be in our home. I mean, we were steeped up to it, to our necks. And I was raised in it from a small child all the way up until I finished at two of their, quote, Bible colleges, and then worked in several of their largest, quote, churches, until I finally came to my senses. What I mean by that is, for those years in my youth, just excusing the things that I saw, until finally just having enough and realizing that what I saw and heard with my own eyes and ears did not line up with the scripture. So I left. Quote, church and the churchmen, the whole thing, every single bit of it, is not of God. It has no biblical support to exist. And not only that, it is in place as the religious arm of the state, and its main purpose is to war against the kingdom of Christ and to prevent those who would come to the kingdom of Christ, to prevent them from entering into the kingdom of Christ. I know they say the name Jesus. They tell stories about God. They talk about Noah's flood. They talk about creation. Not correctly, but they talk about creation. They talk about the prophets. Boy, do they talk about the prophets. They talk about Peter and James and John, and they talk about the book of Acts. Yeah, they talk, they talk, they talk. But every single bit of the way they talk is from the slant that the kingdom of God is future, that Jesus Christ commanded all men to, quote, render unto Caesar, that God has ordained men's little g governments to exist, and that Jesus is coming in the future to rule and reign in a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ with Donald Trump as his undersecretary. And what many of these godless agents of the state, Jesus Christ, if their false prophecy or false theology had a shred of truth to it, Jesus would actually be Trump's assistant, the way they talk. The things that I talk about related to, quote, church are from my own experiences and my own research. I've not just stuck a toe in the water for a brief little touch of what they're up to so I can have some message material on the weekends. The things I say about, quote, church, the men and their false doctrine, are from a lifetime of experience and research. So for someone to spend a few minutes here and there on my website, then trying to cherry-pick something out of there in order to persuade someone against the teachings there, well, it's just simply not the same. You know, listening to these few messages on predestination versus whosoever will cannot possibly provide someone with enough ammunition to bring down the arguments. The conclusions come from many years of unraveling the false teachings of the, quote, church and state. And if someone has not done that, they're more than likely not going to understand these conclusions. For instance, again, this is simple as can be, but if someone does not believe, or if someone believes, let me say it that way, that the end of the world, the end of the age, spoken of by Christ in Matthew 24, I'll assure you, if they believe that those things refer to the future, they will not even begin to understand some of these other deeper issues that we're discussing. They can't. It's not even possible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These words of Christ are so simple, yet 99% of the world doesn't get it. Christ said, do this first. Before anything else, do this first. Seek my government first, and all these other things will be added unto you. If then we spend our entire lives under the assumption that the government of God has not come, it's always in the future, how can we get to any of these other things, let alone all these other things? It's so simple. It's ridiculously simple. But the religious world, every bit of it, has done all it can do to make people believe that the kingdom of God, the government of God, is for everything but right now. Then, if there's anything in the religious world that even hints at the kingdom of Christ being now, the government of Christ being now, it's only for the spiritual world. Never is it understood to be in the same realm as what the world understands government to be. There's men's, quote, governments, which control the way people live. Then there's God's government, which controls the way men think. But God's government would never cause a man to live his life contrary to the way men's governments command. So, either way, the kingdom of Christ has no real existence in the world today, except for in the lives of just a few rebellious, brainwashed cultists. When John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay, repent, for the government of heaven is at hand. And Christ preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the government of heaven is at hand." I will assure you that everyone that heard those messages knew exactly what that meant. That's why the, quote, king had John's head removed from his body. That's why Christ was executed by the state after having a court trial. That's why the apostles were in jail more than they weren't. Their proper interpretation of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent, for the government of heaven is at hand, their proper interpretation of that was, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. The people in the first century were told that there was another government on the horizon. It was a return. It was a restoration that was soon coming. The king had arrived. The king had come. The Messiah was there. The deliverer had come to restore the kingdom back to the Father. The people had demanded, we the people had demanded a king like all the other nations, and God gave them what they wanted. But those days were not to last forever. Those days were only going to last until the end of the world, until the end of the old covenant age, where Christ would take it all back and deliver it up to the Father, who would once again take his rightful place as king and never again allow men to have kings like all the other nations. And what men do today, they do not do with the permission of the God of heaven. They take to themselves kings like all the other nations out of pure rebellion to the God of heaven. They don't do it because God said they could. Men, their hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? They have devised cunning. Well, actually, I don't even think they're cunning. I think they're actually that they're cunning. I think they're quite stupid. And their ignorance of the scriptures is full on. But they think they've taken the scriptures to justify their rebellion. And because most people are just plain gullible, most people have followed their lies, and entire generations are lost because they refuse to see the clear teachings of the Bible. The Bible is as clear as can be in its conclusion for mankind, that men are to obey God exclusive of all others. The scriptures are so clear. I don't see how any honest reader of the word, even a casual reader, cannot see example after example after example of men and women who said, we must obey God rather than men. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter: to fear God and keep his commandments. But it is, and that's our reality. That's what we're up against. I've done my very best to try to unravel the religious deception. And you know what? We're basically just getting started on unraveling all the religious deception. But I'm doing everything I can to unravel the religious deception. We've still got a long, long way to go. But we've got a job to do, and we've got to continue with it. As I've heard from so many of you who are also trying to unravel religious deception, I hope you remain strong. Anyone who comes to you advocating for futurism in any shape or form, anyone who comes to you using the word, quote, church, those are dead giveaways. They are, and I know this may sound very harsh, but they're not the angels of God. They're not the messengers of God. If they sound nice, if they look nice, if they act sweet, they've managed to transform themselves for the purpose of proselytizing anyone who would attempt to live as Christ, as King, right now. I want you to be careful. I've been thinking all week long about those who would argue against the simple teaching found in John chapter 3. And now I'm going back to talking about what I said from the very beginning, that there are some who have just go on the website or listen to a message for a few minutes just to try to cherry pick things to argue against. But I've been spending the whole week long thinking about those who would argue against the simple teaching found in John 3, particularly from verses 15 and 16. So let's take another look. I think I've concluded something as to why men want to argue against this. And I think it's very interesting as to what I believe their reasons for arguing against whosoever will are. And again, I want to remind you, I'm not referring to any one of our regular listeners. Okay? This is not in reference to any of our regular listeners who've been emailing me. I'm talking about individuals who stick their toe in the water just to try to get some ammunition to argue against the teaching of fulfilled Bible prophecy, the present-day reality of the king and kingdom. And so just look with me again this morning for just a few minutes to John chapter 3, verse 15. Well, since we're there, let's go ahead and start in verse 12. These are the words of Christ, John chapter 3, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If I tell you of spiritual heavenly things, and I believe this is that he's saying things that are coming in the new world, things that are replacing some of the elements of the old world, He says, if you didn't understand the elements of the old world, I don't know how you think you're going to understand the elements of the new world, these heavenly things. Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that when the Son of Man is lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These are the words of Christ. Why is this so hard to believe? How could anyone argue against what Christ was saying here in John chapter 3? I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. I believe I can show us something as to why people have such a hard time with John chapter 3. All right, this is Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. You know, when I read verses like that, and you'll hear me, I even do this when I'm preaching. I'll make a comment and I'll describe what I'm trying to say, and then I'll use the word now, which means because of everything that we've just talked about, here's the conclusion. And this is exactly the same thing that the writer of the book of Hebrews does when he gets to chapter 8. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. All right, stop right here. The word we is used two times in this verse. Who is this we? Okay, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Who is this we? Keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 8, and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I mean, how could we possibly understand Hebrews chapter 8 if we do not understand Hebrews chapter 1? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. All right, the writer is reminding his readers that at sundry times, many different ways in the past, different times, different places in the old covenant world, God spoke to the forefathers of the people that were reading the book of Hebrews. God spoke to them through the prophets. But look at verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. This verse 2 is so packed with power. It's one of the most explosive verses in the whole Bible. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Look at this. You've got to see this. Your own salvation depends on whether you understand this or not. For any of you who have ever been on the fence concerning fulfilled Bible prophecy, you have to see this. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. If a man does not understand the phrase, the last days, look, I don't care if he's the, quote, president of the largest seminary in the world. I don't care if he, quote, pastors the largest, quote, church in the world. If that man teaches that we in 2021 are in the last days, that man is not in Christ. He can talk about Jesus all he wants to. He can try to convince people all he can that he is of God and knows the truth and teaches men how to come to Christ. But if he teaches that we or any other generation except for the first generation to which Christ came, if he teaches that the, quote, last days are anything other than the last days of the old covenant world, that man is a false teacher. If anyone else comes to you and tries to tell you that we are in the last days, I don't care how nice they are, how sweet they are, how good they smell, how good they dress, how many times they say Yeshua or Yeshua HaMashiach, if they do not understand that Christ came in the last days, they are not in Christ. Look, I know that sounds harsh. It may sound judgmental, but it's the truth. And we're way, way past time that people hear the truth. The truth may be hard, especially when we live in a time where lies are way preferred above the truth. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 cannot be any clearer. In the old world, God spoke to people through his prophets. In the first century, God spoke directly to them through his son. This is 1,000 times better than the prophets. This was God's own son, and the scriptures put his time period in the last days. If a man does not understand the phrase, the last days, he cannot understand the scripture. And in just a little bit, I'm going to show you how they can reconcile all of this. And in the end, it doesn't matter whether they know the truth or not. To them, in their way of thinking, none of it matters whether we understand these things or not. I totally refuse that line of thinking. This is also why they totally discount whosoever believeth, because ultimately, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. And our generation is 100% proof that because we don't understand, because we think belief doesn't matter, this is why every single area of belief in our generation is nothing but a big lie. Doesn't matter what area of belief, every single thing has been a lie. This is a side note here, but it's very interesting. It's interesting to me. But I was talking with a friend of mine last week. This guy, he's into his 70s, and he's forgotten more about electricity than I'll ever know. And as most of you know, I really enjoy electricity, and I try to learn all I can about it. But he told me, I didn't know this, but he told me that in the 1950s, actually prior to the 1950s, most all, maybe all the cars, I still need to do some of my own research, but I just haven't had the time yet. This was just the other night. But anyway, the cars that were built prior to the 1950s were all built with what's called positive ground. And this is the way most lightning is seen in nature. And I don't expect any of you to understand this. I mean, I barely do. But if some of you do, enlighten me further. And though I know we have one know-it-all listener who always who already probably knows this, and I'm just kidding. I haven't spoken with Michael about this yet. But I'm sure he's already years ahead of me on this one. But anyway, when the cars were utilizing positive ground in their batteries, the metal in the cars weren't rusting. So in the 1950s, they changed to negative ground in the cars. And guess what? They started rusting more. Well, imagine that. Electricity is exactly the opposite of what it should be. Just another instance of, again, we've been lied to about every single thing there is, okay? But not just that, everything that we think that we know to be true, everything that they've put their hands to in our generation has, for the most part, been a lie. I'm trying to tell you that belief does matter. What a man believes absolutely matters. It's called faith. It's his system of belief. And it matters what men believes. Just like seek ye first the kingdom, if we don't understand the phrases, the end of the world, the last days, the end times, we will not understand the Bible. And as a result, we think we have eternal life, when the truth is, we do not have it. Hebrews 1 verse 2 says that God spoke to men through His Son, and that timetable was in the last days. It simply cannot be any clearer. If a man does not understand this, then Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Christ, has not come. And that's our problem. If Christ has not come, then we're still in the old covenant age. We're still holding on to old covenant ways, still holding on to old covenant teachings, old covenant rituals, things which cannot bring salvation. I'm telling you, these things are vitally important that we understand them. Belief matters, but proper belief is what matters most. The devils believe, the Bible says, and they tremble. And I've rarely seen that in my lifetime from a man or a woman. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Do you see what a huge explosion this is? God appointed Christ the heir of all things, the heir of all things, the heir of all things. I could just stop preaching right now and just repeat the heir of all things until the end of the hour, just hoping that would sink in, that we would understand what this means. In our generation, Christ is pretty much just a side note. He's got a theater, basically on the weekends in the social organizations. Something called Jesus has a sideshow for some people that makes them feel good about themselves, gives them warm and fuzzy somehow. But as far as the way people live their lives, Christ is no more the heir of all things than is Bozo the Clown. Most people's lives today are controlled by the U.S. quote government, by their state quote government, by their employers, by their teachers, but not by Christ. God made His Son, Jesus, Yeshua the Christ, heir of all things, and He did it in the first century, and these things are written for us. Christ is supposed to be the heir of all things in our lives, in our generations. That's what Christ is supposed to be, the heir of all things. It's His laws, not man's. It's His Father's laws, not man's. But we don't live according to God's laws because we've been deceived all our lives into believing that we are in the last days. And someday, God will appoint His Son heir of all things. Someday, not now. Someday Jesus will return to this earth, and God will at that time appoint Him to be the heir of all things. This is why we're in the shape we're in today. If we truly believe that Christ was the heir of all things right now, we wouldn't think for one second to allow men who have refused to bow the knee to King Jesus to tell us how we're supposed to live. If we knew these things and believed them the way the Scripture teaches, we would have never given men's little g governments one inch of our lives. Not one inch. Not one second. Never would we have done so. But it's happened because we were lied to. And sadly, we believed and we followed the lies. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Notice the word worlds here. Which Greek word do you think this came from? Notice also the word is plural, worlds, more than one world. It's aeon. Yes, of course it is. He made the old world and He made the new world. Oh, how I love the consistency of the Bible. And I've got to admit to you that I had either not ever looked up the word world here or just didn't remember. But as I was looking it up, I had a weak moment and just thought to myself, oh, please, please be aeon. Well, how silly, because I knew that's what it was before I even looked it up, because the scriptures are just so consistent. Verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow, that's amazing that men can read these things and still do all they can to make this future. This is not future. This already happened. It happened in the last days. It happened in the first century. The last days were in the first century. They were the last days of the old covenant world, simultaneously being the first days of the new covenant world. And it is so vitally important that we understand this. Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8, keeping in mind, now that we understand who this was written to and when it was written. So let's read again from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 8. Now that we understand that Christ was sent in the last days, okay, now that we understand those things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. It can't be any clearer than that. It just can't be any clearer. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer, speaking about Christ. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Now watch. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Hey, this is the same stuff that Christ was talking about in John chapter 3. He says, he's telling Nicodemus, I'm getting ready to tell you about heavenly things, because all you have ever known is the earthly things, and you didn't even understand that. But now I'm going to be telling you about heavenly things, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern to show to thee in the mount. The things that were in the old covenant world were examples and shadows of heavenly things, of things that were coming in the new world. They were pictures of what would be coming in the new covenant world. They were not things that were going to continue unchanged in the new world. They were types and shadows, but they were going to be made better in the new world. Okay, there was a lot of detail concerning things that were to be done in the tabernacle of the old covenant. There were rituals, and God told Moses to prescribe those things to be done, but they were only types and shadows. That's what this is saying. And as I talked about last week, a lot, and I mean a lot of those things, were ritualistic H2O water cleansing rituals. And they were types and shadows of the type of cleansing that was coming in the new world by and through Christ. Verse 6, but now. Okay, and that's a time stamp right then. That is a time stamp from the first century. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, with the things of the old covenant system, for finding fault with them. There was more than just one. It wasn't just the sacrifices. There were others, them, that's plural. He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Wow. See some predestination, foreordination there. I took them by the hand and led them out, is what it says. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Let me read that to you again, because I'm telling you that because people don't understand this, this is why they think that belief is not important. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. All right, once again, because people either do not understand or they refuse to understand, when this was all written and to whom it was written, these verses have been used to nullify belief, proper belief in Christ. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. There are people today who believe that they can trace their lineage, their physical bloodline, to the house of Israel or the house of Judah in Bible times. And as a result of being able to trace their physical bloodline to the house of Israel and the house of Judah, they believe that these verses in Hebrews 8 are specifically talking about them today. Okay? Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. All right. What I'm telling you today is that this was fulfilled in those people of the first century who had embraced Christ and his teachings. They had direct messages from Christ. They had direct messages from his disciples. They had direct messages from Paul, his apostle, the promised prophecy that Christ would redeem his people, that he would be a light to the nations. That was fulfilled in the first century. The gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven, Colossians 1:23. And the new covenant was established, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, with people who had embraced the Christ. They all knew the Lord. Turn to John chapter 17. We're running out of time, but let's quickly read through this passage. I'm just going to go ahead and start verse 1. You catch up with me. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is what Hebrews 8 is talking about. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things... I'm going too fast. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. This is Hebrews chapter 8. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep them, keep through thine own name, keep through thy authority those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Did Judas have a choice? I don't think so. Otherwise, the scripture wouldn't have been fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Folks, that is a principle that continues on into the new covenant world. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Huh. I wonder how much we can say that about our generation. We're not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Hebrews 8, fulfilled right there in the first century. And I believe those are the only people that could have that it could have been fulfilled in. Well, it was prophesied that way, but there you have, in the words of Christ himself, Hebrews 8 fulfilled. All right, now back to the physical bloodline for just a minute. Let me tell you where I've got some problems today, because people have taken these two verses and they basically say that, I'm talking about Hebrews 8 again, we can trace our bloodline to Abraham, so we're the covenant people and therefore we're chosen of God. And for all intents and purposes, that pretty much closes the book. And they take verse 11 out of context and wrongly conclude that because of verse 11, there's basically no need to understand the scriptures. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Because we say we can trace our physical bloodline to Abraham. We're now in a sit back, do nothing, because nothing is required. And as long as we have the confidence that we can trace our physical bloodline to Abraham, all is right with our worlds. Well, as I told you a little while ago, I spent a great time thinking about this week. And I've got to tell you, I think we've got a pretty big problem here. Not just because of the words of Christ, clearly saying that this was fulfilled in the first century, but because the verse says this, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, let me tell you what the reality is. These same people that hold to this position are some of the biggest U.S. constitutionalists. They're some of the biggest U.S. con supporters in the land. They were, and somehow, beyond all description of belief, still going around telling people that Trump is going to save them. They've got U.S. identification in their pockets. They've got every sort of license that there is, permission slips from their little g government to simply live their lives. The reality is they live by every single law in the land except for God's laws, which are supposed to be put in their minds and in their hearts, and God would be their God and they would be his people. Show me where the law of God commands that we carry around identification papers with men's little g governments on them. Show me where the law of God written on our hearts tells us to seek out and obtain licenses by their own definition, permission by competent authority to do an act that otherwise without the license, would be illegal, a trespass, or a tort. Find for me in the law of God where God commands his people, wrote it on their hearts, to participate in systems like Social Security, carry around numbers that make it nearly impossible to buy or sell unless they have that number. Tell me where, if the law of God was written on our hearts and in our minds, that God told us to do such things. The reality is many people out there claim that they're the fulfillment of Hebrews 8, and every single, quote, law they live by is something other than the laws of God. God never put it on the hearts of his people to serve other gods. That's ridiculous. I find it rather odd because the truth is the constitution is their God. Their laws and the laws and statutes which are made in pursuance thereof, and their citizenship is with the U.S. Oh, but they do keep the laws of God. They keep the feasts of the Old Covenant. They perform the H2O water purification rituals of the Old Covenant world. They keep the Sabbaths of the Old World. They're keeping the Old Covenant laws of God. I see. But when it comes to the testimony of those who actually were the fulfillment of Hebrews chapter 8, namely, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the ruler, the people, and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. The apostles weren't turning the world upside down because they were keeping the feasts of the old covenant world. The apostles weren't troubling the people and the rulers of the city because they were keeping Sabbaths. The apostles aren't troubling the people and the rulers of the city because they could trace their physical bloodline to Abraham. They were troubling the people and the rulers of the city because they knew that their God had appointed his son, Yeshua the Christ, to be the heir of all things. They knew that Christ had conquered the little g governments of the world, and his father had made him the potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They knew that the kingdom of Christ that their king had preached was in the process of being implemented, and those men had become so totally immersed into Christ that Christ was the one ruling their lives. And everything they did, everything they said was through Christ, and besides him, there is no other. They weren't running around or walking around during the week as citizens of the world. Then when they gathered in their weekend social organizations to sing songs about their coming king, they, with all boldness, because the outside world doesn't give one flip about what they do inside their buildings. Well, as long as they practice social distancing, wash their hands with anti-life disinfectant, and wear their mask, and hold lethal injection clinics in their facilities. But other than that, their God doesn't care what they do inside their buildings. But those men and women in the first century who believed that Christ was king, they believed that he was the promised Messiah, they believed that he was the one who would restore Israel to the days prior to 1 Samuel chapter 8. They believed that Christ was superior to Caesar and all the other little g governments of the world. These were the ones to whom Hebrews chapter 8 was fulfilled in. And today, if I could find a group of people who claimed their physical bloodline could be traced to Abraham, and they were truly living as citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel, with Yahweh being their God and they being the people of God, I'd absolutely listen to what they have to say. But I don't see it. I see people still playing, quote, church. I see people still advocating for the con. And even more perplexing than that, advocating for the con and for Trump. That's incredible. But sadly, what I see today with those who hold to Hebrews chapter 8 as a fulfillment today, I think many of them fall into the same category as the discussion Christ had with them in John 8. We be Abraham's seed and not in bondage to any man. Really? Well, who's ruling your life today? Whose laws are you governed by? I mean, some of these people that are coming against whosoever will, they're coming against the fulfilled Bible prophecy teaching that concludes that Christ is king now. They're coming against whosoever will. Not only are they not living according to the laws of God, but they're some of the most staunch advocates for the U.S. con in the land today. The deception that they're under is almost hard to believe. These are religious people. We can trace our bloodline to Abraham. We, the people of the United States of America, are the seed of Abraham. I don't get that. That's pure doublespeak. We're either the people of God or we're the people of the United States of America. We can't be the same. Either we will love the one and hate the other, or we will hate the one and love the other. We cannot serve two masters. And if we were living the way Christ said that we're supposed to live, what we read from John chapter 17, the world would hate us. But because people refused to yield to the simple truth of Hebrews chapter 1, that Christ was revealed in the last days, we're now dealing with a generation of people who think that God has called them for his people, and because God has called them because of their race, there's nothing whatsoever required of them, not even proper belief. And that I do not understand. If any of that was true, the reality is that God would expect more. There would be far more required. The test for all of it should be in the conclusion. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Okay, where are these people? Where are these people where Yahweh is their God and they are his people? Are they found in the feast keepers? Are they found in the Sabbath keepers? Are they found in those still performing the H2O water purification rituals of the Old Testament tabernacle? If we were the people we were supposed to be, if we today in 2021 were the fulfillment of Hebrews 8, the world would know it. The Commonwealth of Israel would be real. Many of you are writing to me asking me for advice on what to do. And I'm so glad that the filth of the world is no longer feeling good for so many of you. The shoe doesn't fit. The jacket not only doesn't fit anymore, but it smells like mothballs, and we just can't take it any longer. When citizenship with the world is no longer comfortable, no matter where we are in this world, whether we have support or we have no support, we still are required to live as citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. For those asking, get rid of your worldly identification documents. You're supposed to be citizens of another government. We're supposed to be living according to the way the nation was founded from Hebrews chapter 8. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Yahweh's laws are supposed to be our laws. He is supposed to be our God, our ruler, our judge, our magistrate. We're supposed to be His people, not we the people. Is it hard to do this by yourself in a world that hates Christ, hates His kingdom? Sure it is. Even among those who say they love us, our parents, our siblings, but who we know try to discourage us from living the Christian life. I mean, even those who say they love us don't really support us. But we still have to live as the apostles showed. We still have to live the way Christ showed. Is it hard by ourselves? Yeah, it is. But that's because we're not supposed to live by ourselves. We're supposed to join ourselves with other believers. If we cannot or will not join ourselves with other believers, we still have to live our lives separated from the world's citizenships. Go back and read again John chapter 17 when we get finished. We can see this. Every day we see how they're getting more and more crazy. They're doing everything they can to tighten the noose. God's people had better start taking this serious. We aren't in Christ because of race. We aren't in Christ because of physical blood. We aren't in Christ today because a new covenant was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Yes, the new covenant was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah in the first century. That's who the covenant was made with. But it's not passed down to the point where it's forced on subsequent generations, whether they want it or not. That's the same flawed argument as the Constitution. That document was made in 1787, and for the people who agreed to it, if they wanted to bind themselves like a bunch of ignorant people, then so be it for them. But one generation cannot force another generation to stay bound to the decisions that they made for themselves. I'm not a slave to the decisions of people that I don't even know just because I was born. Governments do not continue in perpetuity. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's an eternal principle that God caused Joshua to speak into existence, and that's how it works. We have a choice. Joshua did not have a choice. His actions were recorded. They had to happen in order to show what God's will is for the people in the new world. Hebrews chapter 8 was written to show us what God's people are supposed to look like. We're totally deceived if we think that somehow we're the people of God when we are not governed by His laws. We have others as our judges, our rulers, and magistrates, and we're not His people. Hebrews chapter 8 shows us what it's supposed to look like. And brethren, if we think that because we keep the feast, or because we're white, or because we're wet, that makes us the sons of God, we've missed it, and we've missed it badly. When Christ is lifted up, when He is preached for who He is, what He did, what He taught, how He fulfilled the prophets, how He was executed, then buried, then rose again, how He became king, how His kingdom is the exclusive government on this earth since the first century and today, how He taught obedience to His Father's laws, starting with the very first one, "Thou shalt have no other gods, judges, rulers, magistrates before me." When Christ is lifted up, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name, because he hath not believed in the authority of the only begotten Son of God. I'm telling you this morning that all the, quote, churches in the world today will hold up Jesus as a helpless baby in a manger, or as a helpless dying convict on a wooden cross. But virtually no one is holding up Christ as the one who was appointed heir of all things, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to whom all men, women, boys, and girls, let every soul be subject. Virtually no one in our world today is holding up Christ this way, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If Christ were held up in this manner, and men and women, boys and girls were taught this as the gospel, I believe our generation could be turned upside down for Christ and his kingdom, and it could be done so in a very short period of time.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.